Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. We also ask that as you listen, you prayerfully consider coming alongside Ware's Valley Ranch and supporting this ministry to children in crisis through a tax-deductible donation. To find out more about how you can help, call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit us online at wvr.org. Again, thanks for listening, and now we join the broadcast.
So, Paul didn't want to get stuck in Ephesus, so it describes where he went. Verse 16, he decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia because he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. And I like the fact it says, if possible. He had a goal, but there was a realization this might not work out as planned. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church, not the whole church. He just sent for the elders because he still had more he wanted to say to them. And when they arrived, he began to walk them through his ministry among them. He says, "You know how I've lived the whole time I've with you. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." What does he say? Paul says there's only one way to be saved. Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, you've got to repent and trust in Jesus. I don't want you to lose sight of that, because I am, over the years, repeatedly disappointed in high-profile preachers who go on television shows and are asked about, you know, what about these people? What about sincere followers of this religion? What about this, that, or the other? And respond with things like, "Well, I mean, that's certainly not something that I'm really in a position to say. I don't know. Why don't you know? Have you not read the book? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Are there any other ways of salvation? No. Well, who says so? Jesus? Well, I don't necessarily believe that. Well, you're going to hell. Well, no, I believe in Jesus. I just don't believe everything he says. You're going to hell. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is Lord. Have faith in the Lord Jesus. What does the word Lord mean? I don't know. It's like a British title or something. No. Lord means king, boss, ruler, owner, master. He's in charge. So you can't be his follower except not some of the time, because I don't like some of the things he says. Jesus says he's the only way. Well, that seems awfully narrow. Yeah, he said that too. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Very few people find it. Well, you know, if we preach that kind of thing, there are going to be a whole lot of people who are not going to want to be a part of this. Oh, really? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't be surprised when people despise you, oppose you, persecute you. Because if that's the way they treated me, it's the way they're going to treat you. But when people think in order to reach more people, we've got to redo the message a little bit, okay? Let's don't say stuff that's going to be controversial. Let's don't say things that will be upsetting to people. Let's don't say things that are off-putting. Paul says, I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. You know I've not, that was verse 27. Verse 20, he said the same thing. You know I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house, the message in this setting and the message in small group settings is the same message. And that is, whether you're Jew or Greek, Presbyterian, Baptist, Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Pentecostal, or whatever, whatever you are, this ethnic group, that ethnic group, this cultural background, that language group, doesn't matter. They must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't preach repentance, you're not preaching the gospel. You see, the word repent is a bad word in our culture. It seems so negative. You're saying I have to change? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I'm not just saying you have to change. I'm giving you good news. Well, what's the good news? You can change. You don't have to keep doing the same stuff that's destroying your life. You don't have to keep on. Have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Have you ever done that? Yeah, I see hands. It hurts, doesn't it? Imagine if you couldn't stop. Okay? Imagine if when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you had to spend the rest of your life just sitting there whacking that thumb till it was flat as a pancake. Okay? But God says, you can change. I'm calling you to repentance. The word repent means a change of mind that results in a change of direction. We've discussed this countless times because it's central to what God calls us to preach. But if I'm driving down the interstate, I've done a lot of that lately, if I'm driving down the interstate and I realize I missed my turn, I better take the next exit. If I just keep on going in the wrong direction, saying, well, I was supposed to go to Cincinnati, but instead I turned toward Louisville. I guess it was just force of habit because I've been to Louisville a lot. But I guess we'll just go to Louisville. I'm not going to get to Cincinnati that way. You understand? If I made a mistake, I need to turn around. Anybody here ever made a mistake? All of us. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, we all need to repent. It's not just something for some people who are especially bad. You bad people need to repent. All of us have sinned. All of us need to repent. God graciously enables us to repent. He graciously changes the mind of those who come to faith. Hallelujah. I am so grateful. If it was up to me, I would still be on the broad road headed for hell and patting myself on the back as I'm passing other people. Okay? I'm going faster than he is. You're going off a cliff. This is crazy. Yeah, but I'm in a nice car. The world is competing with each other as they head in the wrong direction. Well, No. Paul says he warned them with tears. This is not something we're excited about, people going to hell. But it's something we better recognize. Do you know anybody who's seriously ill? I heard this morning about someone who's anticipating surgery for cancer. Well, I think it would have been nicer just not to tell them. Okay? Do the scan and say, oh, I think you're fine. Okay? Just relax. You don't need to deal with it. Just ignore it. That's not kindness. That's cruelty. There's treatment available. Get help. If a person's an addict, and we just say, oh, well, you know, John sometimes, you know, he's Irish. What can we say? No. If the person's got a problem, talk with them. Because you care. God in his mercy calls us to repent. But not just a repentance that says, okay, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to believe in a higher power. No, that's not enough. You must trust, have faith in our Lord Jesus. Well, what about people who've never heard? What are you doing to get the word to them? You really care about them, or are you using that as a smokescreen in order to try and keep God at bay? Well, it doesn't seem fair to me. Oh, no. It's not fair. If God was only fair, he'd send us all to hell. That would be completely fair, because everybody, everywhere, throughout human history, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has willfully chosen to do stuff we know we shouldn't do, and willfully chosen not to do things that we know we should do. And if you can't identify with that, you're not just sinful, you're delusional. All of us have messed up. And if God was only fair, only just, he'd just wipe us all out. And nobody could say, unfair. But in order that he might be just and the justifier of those who believe, that's what it's described as in Romans, in order to do that, God sent his son to provide salvation for all who believe. For all who believe. Well, then somebody needs to tell those folks, yes, that's what we're about. That's why we don't just do it here on Sundays, and we don't just do it locally through our relationships during the week, and we don't just do it on the internet. We do it through a whole network of brothers and sisters around the world that we're grateful to be able to partner with and provide support to and pray for, as we did this morning. The gospel is going forth right now all around the world. And we get to be a part of that. Hallelujah. What a privilege. Because I'll tell you something. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Folks, with current events, many of us are realizing all the more that our time on earth is temporary. While I have many on my heart that I pray will surrender to Jesus, I'm beginning to get very excited about soon spending forever with him. Can you relate? If you're like many of us who are rethinking our wills, I'd like to ask you to consider leaving a gift to support the kids at Ware's Valley Ranch. We have a program called Legacy 145. It's based on Psalm 145:4. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. If participating in something that will pass on the gospel to future generations after you're in heaven interests you, go to wvr.org and click on the icon for Legacy 145. That's wvr.org and click on the Legacy 145 button. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Paul says, I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Then he says to these elders, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Paul is telling the leaders that they need to remember the church belongs to God. That's a very important message, not only for the leaders of the church, but for all the members of the church. Well, no church, I had a guy who came up to me after I'd preached from Romans in Atlanta years ago. I was a new pastor. He came up to me and he said, what you preached tonight was not Baptist, it was Presbyterian. And he said, this is a Baptist church and there's not enough room for both of us. And I'm not leaving. So I invited him for breakfast, and a couple of days later we had breakfast together, and I explained to him that actually, after we'd talked a little bit, what I was preaching was not only biblical, but it is Baptist historically, and that what he was advocating is actually Methodist. But I told him, but I think there's still room in the church for you. He thanked me. He's a dear brother in Christ. He got his theology more biblical as the years went by. And he prays for us every day. And I'm grateful. He's in his 90s now. That was over 30 years ago. The church belongs to God. And then Paul is not afraid to use himself as an example of humility, integrity, courage, and hard work. Paul does that. Well, Paul was kind of an arrogant guy. No, he used himself as an example of humility. Billy Graham's father-in-law used to tell a joke about a preacher whose congregation gave him a medallion for his humility and then had to take it away from him because he wore it. Is it possible for us to not only be humble, but know that we're humble without losing our humility? Yeah, if you understand what humility is. Humility is not saying, I am nothing, I'm just a worm, I don't deserve to be alive, they ought to just wipe me. That's not humility. That is a morbid preoccupation with yourself. Don't be preoccupied with yourself. But as Paul says in Romans 12, think of yourself soberly as God has given to each one the measure of grace. Now, Paul was able to use himself as an example. We should be too. Okay? We should be living a life that enables us to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Not follow me in everything stupid that I do, because I'm not perfect. Paul didn't claim to be perfect. But what he did claim was to be following Christ and setting an example for others. Parents, grandparents, Christian neighbor, you're supposed to be doing that. Christian young people, you're supposed to be doing that. You mean for my siblings? I mean for whoever is watching. You should be seeking to honor the Lord in the way that you live. And Paul did that. He also warned them that there would be some who would be like savage wolves coming in among the flock, even from the elders, even from among you, from your own number. Men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Their goal is not for people to follow Jesus. Their goal is for people to follow them. Please, don't fall for that. If somebody tries to snow you with big words or fancy things, just see through it. If they're pointing you to them as the place to stop looking, that's somebody you need to go in the other direction. Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. He's pointing to someone else. That's what our life is supposed to be. Pointing people to him. And when a so-called Christian leader wants to point everybody to him, okay, run. Now, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are what? Sanctified. You and I are supposed to be set apart for God. We're supposed to be totally devoted to him. Well, Pastor, I really haven't arrived yet. Well, neither have I. But I'm on a journey. I want to become more like Jesus. How about you? Do you want to grow or you just want to grow moss? Okay? Because those who are sanctified, and that's a progressive thing, have an inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance imperishable and undefiled, which will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith. Folks, understand, God has better things in store for you than you can imagine. While the devil's trying to get you to worry about what you might lose if you are all in to follow Jesus, you are missing out on profound blessings that God has for all those who are wholly devoted to him. There's more here. We already read it. Paul talks about his hard work, that he not only was preaching, but he was doing his tent making, and as a result, he was able to provide for his support and the support of his entourage. And when he'd said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they'd never see his face again. Folks, I hope I'm going to see all of you again. But I know this. If I were to die today, I have sought to be faithful in pointing you to Jesus. He's the only one who can save. And if you're trusting in him, you have eternal life. And if you're not trusting in him, no amount of good works or biblical knowledge is going to save you. Your only hope is Jesus. And if God should take me anytime soon, I want to see you on the other side one day.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.